during COVID, Walt's trying to distract me with something, and I'm not quite sure what it is. During COVID, we got in the habit, my husband and I, of what we came to call assuming the position, which
sounds terrible,
but not that position. We ended up, actually, we started to even eat dinner on the love seat watching TV. I swear, we didn't just finish series of Netflix, we finished, you know? And as happened in that time, we would watch one or two episodes of whatever it is we're watching, and it wasn't like we were watching one show at a time. So we would watch for two or three episodes of one show and then flip and watch two or three episodes of another show. And I see some people nodding, so we're not alone in this. But what would happen is I would get to bed after midnight. And then I would wake up needing to get to work, even though it was online, needing to get up and be on and ready to go, feeling dragged and tired and behind. And I thought, okay, this is silly. I'm going to be in bed by 11. So I made the decision, changed my mind, and went to bed at 11, got up feeling completely refreshed, like my day was ready to begin. I had time to go for a walk in the morning, the air on my face, the whole world transformed by me doing that. It was wonderful. And that wonderful new habit lasted for about 5 days. And I love that you are laughing with me, because what it tells me is my experience is something that we can all identify with. And last week, of course, 2 weeks ago now, was New Year's Eve. And we set these New Year's resolutions and we resolve that we are going to change our behavior and do something different. And then, by the end of a very short period of time, we've fallen back into our old habits. Even though we know that some of those new intentions, those new resolutions, would actually be really healthy for us in so many ways. Healthy for us physically, healthy for our relationships, healthy for our finances, whatever those resolutions might be. We know what we're supposed to do. And yet we have this human tendency not to do them. Well, if it is any comfort for you to know that research has shown that 80% of New Year's resolutions do not make it through to the end of the year. In fact, 80% don't make it through 3 months. And in 2021, USA Today reported that 67%, two-thirds of gym memberships go unused. Does this surprise any one of us? Not at all. What's really cool about this is it is a human phenomenon. For example, in the book of Romans is this really neat passage, which I'll read part of it to you. It's my favorite passage about riddles in the Bible. It reads like this, starting at Romans 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do, For what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. It's a lot of do's in there. Dooby dooby do. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And then it goes on to say, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What does all of that mean? It means exactly what we're experiencing now. When we're trying to change a habit, we know what we want to do, and we don't do it. It is a human experience that we have this resistance to change. Even when we know that the change is something that will be healthy for us, that is something we actually want. And Jesus gives us a clue about why this happens. And he does so in fewer than 30 words. The story is found, or the excerpt is found, in Matthew chapter 9. And it has become known as the parable of the new cloth, a new patch on an old coat. And this is what Jesus says. No one sews a piece of new cloth on an old cloak, for the patch pulls away from the cloak, and a worse tear is made. In some versions, they say, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, for the patch pulls away, and a worse tear is made. And I've spent a fair amount of time working with these 27 words, because you could write a book just on this concept. It is a metaphor for change. And we see it playing out in our world and in our life all the time. Think of the cloak. The coats that we've all come in with today, as being the known, the thing that we wrap around ourselves that keeps us warm, keeps us comfortable, our habits. It's what we know, it's what we surround ourselves with. Sometimes what we surround ourselves with may have a part of us that is threadbare, that's kind of wanting something to be different. Sometimes that may not be so. We may find that the coat is perfectly fine, but we want to add some interest to it. Either way, the patch is what we will put onto the coat to either change a behavior, to patch the coat, or to add some interest to it. And what's interesting about this wisdom is that the new patch on our coat, like physical coat, might look good for a while, but over time, with a little bit of wear and a little bit of washing, the patch will weather. And if it isn't pre-shrunk, if it's not matured already, then as it weathers, it will shrink, the seams will be stretched, and it's possible that it will tear away. And when it tears away, a greater hole is left. Even if there is no hole to begin with, our coat is lovely as it is, and we decide to add something new because we think this would be kind of a fun addition, if it's not applied well and it comes off, we're left with something that now has a few holes in it. It tears. And in real life, we see this played out, not just in physical wear, but metaphorically in things like, you know, our lives are pretty full, and then we decide we're going to go to the gym every day, so we're adding a patch. Or we decide that we're relatively healthy, but we'd like to go on a diet, a patch. Or we decide that our finances need some work, so I'm going to stop spending, a patch. Or we say, I have a tendency to be impatient, or I have a tendency to be judgmental. I'm not going to be impatient anymore, which even sounds impatient. Or I'm not going to judge anymore, which even sounds judgmental. Patches. And aren't they great when they work? For the few days or hours or minutes that you're able to pull it off. And it feels wonderful. And then what happens? Something happens to what was my first example, the gym. A snowfall happens. You miss. Or you end up going too often, and now you can't fit it into your day anymore. And rather than just dial it back, what do? We don't go at all. And the reason I'm saying that is because this is personal experience. Or we resolve that we were gonna lose weight. We were gonna go on a diet. And then, of course, Christmas happens and all the best shortbread cookies on the planet show up here at Unity of New Westminster. What are you gonna do? You're gonna start eating them. And then it's like, oh, well, I fell off the wagon there, so I might as well just give up. A worse tear is made. And there are two parts then to this lovely little 27-word sentence that we can look at to try and improve the relationship between the cloak and the patch. We need to look at both the where we're coming from as well as what we are choosing to add. And in both cases, we are going to expect tension. Perhaps the biggest thing that we haven't figured out when we are making any change is that tension is built in. And so rather than be surprised when something goes wrong, let's plan for it. It's as if we are the tailors of our own life. And if you think of this parable in terms of a tailor, then a good tailor will stretch out the old garment and they will make sure that the patch that goes on has been pre-shrunk. How do we stretch out our old garment? Well, the first thing is to notice when that tension is happening and be less surprised by it. Think of your existing cloak, your existing life. It's already established. Your days are already filled. Your habits have been formed for anywhere between 0 and 100 years. So notice that there will be tension. And be prepared then to step out of your comfort zone, because it's going to feel awkward. Stretch. And you may find that there is pushback, not just from yourself, but from the people around you. You're going to find that you do something, it changes everything. And some people might not like it. For example, if you have always been very easygoing and now you decide, you know what, I'm going to put some limits around some things. Oh my God, does that feel awkward? And oh my goodness, are the people around you going to notice? Expect tension. Stretch. If you're expecting a shift to happen, stretch the old. Stretch the existing. Watch all or nothing thinking, oh, it didn't work. I'm going to revert back to the way it was. The devil I knew versus the devil I don't. Stretch. Stretch. There will be tension. What about the new thing that you're adding? Here again, expect tension. Notice this tendency that we might have to go all in. And this becomes now almost like it's our entire focus of life. Doesn't work. It's not sustainable. And so our aim when we're adding something new is to find a way to add something that is sustainable for us. An example for me was I wanted to go swimming. I love to swim. So one week I went for Monday, Wednesday, Friday for about 20 minutes because that's all I had time for. And I enjoyed it, and I thought, okay, so now I'm going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm going to do it for 30 minutes or 30 laps or whatever it might be. Well, as soon as you start doing something that is not matured, I didn't allow for other things in my day. I didn't allow for the fact that my day is already pretty full. Didn't make it for 2 or 3 days because things didn't work. Didn't go back at all. The Italian philosopher Voltaire is attributed with saying, "Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good." I can identify with that. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Don't wait until everything is perfect before you start. Also, don't insist on whatever your idea of perfection is before you're willing to do it. Go. Begin. But in baby steps. don't dive in too frequently or for too much time. That way, as the patch shrinks, as things around shift and move to accommodate this patch, this new concept that you're trying to introduce, the connection will be more smooth if it's not too big. I think about that experience with swimming. And if I had been okay with just sticking with a little bit, slow and steady, that would have been healthier for me. It would have been more aligned with what I was trying to do. If I had been okay, for example, with less sugar rather than no sugar, then I would be less resistant to that horrible feeling of deprivation that comes from all or nothing thinking that says you can't have any. Because as soon, this is not for children only, where forbidden fruit becomes really, really tasty. So take that patch. The idea of no sugar is a patch. And find a way that's more palatable for you, that's more realistic, that's more sustainable. Pre-shrink the idea. And finally, handle with care. Your garment, your life, you are special and precious and beautiful just the way you are, sugar or not, swimming or not. A worse tear is made when we don't handle things, including ourselves, with care. I mean, think about it. It's not really that surprising that we set aside our resolutions, is it? By their very definition, the word resolution implies that there's something broken that we need to fix. Well, none of us wants to be in that mindset of I'm broken and I need to be fixed. In fact, I have a real resistance even to the idea of spiritual work. What if it was just life? What if it was just interesting? What if it was just a different idea to try something differently and see if it brings more happiness and joy and peace and all that stuff that we want in our lives? Why do we have to call it work? I digress. Resolutions. My friend, Reverend Mindy Tucker, wrote this. Resolutions, by their very definition, encourage a state of rigidity and fixedness and are a huge judgment about what's not working in our lives. I loved that. It was like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be calling them resolutions. No wonder we fail. Because we think we have to win. But we don't. All we need to do, if we care to, is consider trying something different. Last week, for those of you who were here for White Stone Sunday, you will have written an intention for yourself on a stone. What if instead of the word resolution, you tried the word intention? It doesn't have quite that same rigidity. And when we don't have that same rigidity, We are free to fail. We're free to start again, to go back and go, that didn't work quite the way I wanted. Let's try something else. Because firm decisions tend to be fall into all or nothing. Then when we skip a day or we eat the cookie or we make that purchase that isn't in our budget or we yell at the kids or the spouse or the grandparent or the parent or the grandchild or we do things that we intended not to do, then we can be really, really, really hard on ourselves. And then part of that hard on ourselves is the little voice that says, you'll never do this anyway. You might as well give up. That's the danger of a resolution. We compare ourselves to our own image of perfection. We find ourselves lacking. It leads to despair. Compare and despair. When you find yourself comparing, notice where it might lead. So instead of compare and despair, my suggestion is handle with care. Move in the direction of a more interesting life. Move in the direction of changing the cycle of your patterned habits. Expect that there will be tension between the old known and the new intention. Slow and steady wins the race. And so, if you want shift to happen in the way that you want shift to happen, expect tension. Stretch beyond your comfort zone. Expect tension and pre-shrink that new idea into something that is manageable. And above all, handle with care. You deserve it, and so does the world. I bless you.